Amen, amen.
Amen.
So excited to be here this morning. Let's give Christ a round of applause. Such a pleasure. So last week we were back in our study of Luke, and Pastor Cameron talked about the disciples and the significance with each and every disciple. Today we're going to discuss the three verses. Normally we discuss 6 to 7. We're going to discuss three key verses this morning.
I did 4 last week, an hour and a half. Let's not do that.
And they explain how Jesus is coming down to talk to them, to the amount of people. And they came to listen to the Messiah. Astonishing to see how truly powerful He is. Let us stand for the reading and hearing of God's Word. We will be in Luke 6. Verses 17 through 19, and I'll give everybody a moment to get there.
I can't see. I don't have my glasses.
It's okay. We're going to read.
I can listen.
Verses 17 through 19 says this, "And Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. And there was a large crowd of his disciples, a great multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem, the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. And all the crowd was trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we come to gather to hear your word. We come to understand your nature, to understand the Son, to understand the scriptures and what it tells us. Father, today, allow us to open up all of our ears and even open up our hearts to receive this message, so this message can guide us and can deliver us to understand you and to be in complete union with you, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. See, the key principles here to take is ultimately that Jesus is powerful. We understand that he's powerful, but this truly, these verses show how powerful Jesus truly is. And he come down to speak to his believers. He come down to speak to this multitude of people, all these disciples, in a way of understanding and showing true love and showing sacrifice. Verse 17, it says, he came down with them. Jesus came down with the disciples to serve and to bless others, to bless the crowd. He came down to serve. He came down to show. He came down to help. He came down to show who he was, but that he was truly who they were saying he was. And it was out of his heart to do so, to show this love and this compassion. See, serving others was a vital piece of the ministry of Jesus. Serving others was part of who he was. That's how he showed the love of God, was by serving other people. He wanted to help them. He wanted them to work as a team. He always talked about sending these teams out throughout the land for each other. See, it was a vital piece. He served them faithfully. Faithfully he served them. Same aspect, we should serve faithfully. We are meant to serve faithfully, to serve our community faithfully. Faithfully serving means continuously serving, ultimately serving a community, and then serving the world. Serving all the way to the cross when he served by the command of his ultimate Father. And he did this willingly. Jesus did it willingly. He didn't question the Father. He didn't say, I don't have time for that today. I got to build some stuff. No. Faithfully, he served. It's important that we serve others no matter how uncomfortable it makes us. No matter how uncomfortable inside of us that it irks us because we're not used to communicating with those people. serving the poor, serving the hungry, serving our community with expecting absolutely nothing in return. That's what makes it so wonderful to have some of our outreach partners here. They serve with nothing in return. As the church, we should serve with nothing in return. We sit there Monday through Saturday serving ourselves but not serving others. Discussing the word to ourselves and not discussing it with our partners. Not discussing it with our community. We are meant to serve each other. And I want us to go to the book of Mark here in chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. And now this is Mark's account of exactly what we read inside Luke. It's Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. God's word says, "And Jesus withdrew to the sea with his disciples. A great multitude from Galilee followed, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon." A great number of people heard all of that, what he was doing, and came to him. He told his disciples that a boat should stand ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crowd him. For he had healed many, with the result of all those who had afflictions pressed around him in order to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits were seeing him, they would fall down before him and cry out, saying, "You are the Son of God." And he earnestly warned them not to tell who he was. See, Jesus was healing. He was doing all these healings. And he could have had a ministry to himself. Jesus could have done this by himself because he was powerful. He chose to have people around him to do this work with him. And it's the community. He chose other people to do the work. He went to Matthew, the tax collector, who was collecting taxes and was literally stealing from people every single day. And he said two words: "Follow me." He dropped everything he did to follow him. He could have went by Matthew, could have left him, and continued doing what he's doing, to continue going down that road, to continue living in that life of sin. He chose Matthew to follow him because he didn't want to do the ministry alone. He wanted to do it with other people. He wanted to do it as a team. He wanted to do it together. He could have done it all by himself. By his sovereignly chose the people to serve with him, to work as a team, to work unselfishly, to work for others. He was not selfish. He did it together with his apostles and the great multitude of disciples. That's a team effort. See, when you talk about a team, you can't win the national championship or the World Series with one person. It takes a team effort to win. It takes us a team effort to disciple. It takes a team effort to spread God's word inside this community. That's the only way it's going to happen. It takes a team. It doesn't take one person. It's everybody to do so. We read more in God's word. It says, "And he stood on a level place." The work described in these few verses was the teaching recorded till the end of the chapter took place on a level place. When we talk about he stood on a level place, we can take into account it was a level area. For some, this is helpful distinction, marking the following of the teaching from the teaching on the mountain described in Matthew 5 through 7. See, a level place can be considered a spot truly on that mountain. Jesus was able to speak to them clearly. He wanted to speak to everybody clearly so they would understand what he is saying. He wanted to do it eye to eye. which is another form of serving, speaking God's word, a form of serving that he did so that he would realize that he was willing to serve this multitude of people. I want you guys to understand, a multitude of people gathered to hear this man. And this is another form of Jesus serving. He did it every single day, serving and doing things to help people and healing people and feeding the sick. He did all of these things. He served nonstop. Once again, with asking nothing in return. God's word says, and there was a large crowd of his disciples. I just stated that at this point of Jesus' ministry, it was a multitude of people. You can't even imagine the amount of people that were here, that were there to hear his word. Jesus of Nazareth, that was healing people, that was teaching people in the synagogues. They all came to hear him. They came to be witnessed. They came to be healed. They came to follow. They came to follow the Son of Man. This man that was born in Nazareth, that they thought was blasphemous. Come to find out, he's the glorious Son of God that was sent here to heal, to show love, to show compassion to people that they've never seen before. Men tried to come and be like Jesus. They said, I am the Messiah. You were blasphemous. You were not, because you couldn't heal the way Jesus healed. You couldn't show love and compassion the way Jesus showed, which is ultimately showing these characteristics of his Father. Showing the characteristics of God. See, these areas where he was speaking to, they were heavily populated. They were like North Augusta on top of North Augusta populated. They were almost like Atlanta populated. That's just how it was. They were not small communities, but they traveled together. They traveled to be healed. They traveled to feel his power, to hear him speak. And he would speak from Isaiah. He would speak from the older scrolls. He would speak from God's word. He was the ultimate pastor. He was the guy. He traveled to hear him speak. Serving, teaching in these areas, he did. Showing love towards man that did not deserve it, but he still did. Washing the feet of men. Men who eventually would betray him. These men would betray him, but he washed their feet. See, during this time, washing their feet was the ultimate sign of respect and of love and of care. Jesus knew that he was going to be betrayed. He still washed their feet. He still fed them. He still broke bread with them. The ultimate form of love. Teaching men, healing diseased Gentiles. If we can take anything from this piece of scripture, we need to take that we must serve others in a caring and loving nature, teaching about our Savior. We talked about it earlier. This world needs to hear God's word in its purity. From verse 17, we are to take, we are to spread God's word, that we are to love and care for others. I was going to do a demonstration of washing feet this morning. Chose not to. But I should have. Because it's about caring for each other. It's about showing that love and that love, that compassion that we need. This world needs love and compassion. It's a lot more from hate speech that we read in the media. It's the opposite. Jesus is the opposite of the world. We are to show those characteristics. in our second verse here, verse 18, starts off with who had come to hear him and healed of their diseases. They came to hear him. They came to hear him teach. They came to be healed. Just like earlier in the book of Luke, we read that in Luke that he healed a man with leprosy, and the man could not walk, and he couldn't walk again. But he was healed. By the power of God, he was healed. A man that couldn't walk. Jesus laid his hand on him. He got up and walked. None of this can be done with our power. We are powerless. We will never equal up to the glory of God and to Jesus Christ in our lifetime, no matter how hard we try. We can read God's word every single day, and we can disciple every single day, but it's all done by God and Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. See, understand this, that these diseases ranged from mild diseases to life-threatening diseases that people had. These men and women struggled with these things. They had done everything possible to be healed. Done everything in their power that they could do to be healed. The only power that can heal is by the healing power of Jesus Christ. By the power of Him, He can be healed. He is the one that saves. And I want you to write this down in your notes if you have a pen and paper. If you don't, take a mental note. Jesus is the one that saves. It's in Him alone that He saves. Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we are dead in our transgressions, made us alive with Christ, by grace you have been saved. By Christ alone. He's the one that mediates. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He is the only teacher. 2 Timothy 3:10 says, but you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and perseverance. All these characteristics of Christ. All characteristics of power. And of love is Christ. God's word says, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. Unclean spirits were being cured. See, all unclean spirits mentioned in the scriptures are of demons, and they were all unclean. They were unholy. They were impure. You were not holy during this time if you had these unclean spirits inside of you. You were not considered holy. You're not pure. You're not genuine. There was not anything that could be done if you were not clean in some of these communities. There's no other healing that could happen. There was nothing else that could be done for you. You got turned away in these communities. Sometimes you were put to death because you were unclean. Because they didn't want to be around you because you were unholy. People went to be cleansed. They went to be holy again. They would gather to hear Jesus from Nazareth with the hope that they would be made clean again. That they would be washed away and brought holy. And that they would be cured. They came to hear the Son, to be cured from diseases that no man can cure, but God can. How glorious. Acts 5:16 says this, also the multitude from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick and afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. He healed all of them. Notice not some of them, the ones He wanted. He healed them all. who came to him. People came to hear the teacher, the Messiah. We need to understand this for nothing. If we don't understand anything from it, that they all wanted to hear the truth. They all wanted to hear the truth. See, many people wanted to be healed. They wanted the diseases to go away. The only way possible was from the Son of Man, the Messiah, the true Savior that the people needed, and they still doubted Him. The same people that went to be healed, they doubted Him. Doubted God, the true Messiah, they put in doubt. They doubted the truth. They doubted a Savior. Ultimately, they doubted God. This proves how powerful He is. You understand that the Lord is powerful and that He is merciful to His people. Praise God for mercy and grace. Without mercy and grace, we would not be saved. These are all characteristics of a loving God. These are all characteristics of our Messiah, who people doubted. People still put Him on the cross and doubted Him until 3 days later. You read in verse 19, and all the crowd was trying to touch Him, for power was coming from Him and healing them all. Notice all the crowd was trying to touch Him. You may ask why. Well, it's clear from the work that He has done. From the work that He has done and from the work He has not completed yet. But they knew He was powerful. The masses were trying to receive something from Him. The people were trying to receive. Hundreds and thousands wanted to feel the power. They wanted to be healed so that they would know truly that He was the chosen one, because they had doubt. I do think selfishly they wanted to feel the power, but they also wanted to know that He was truly the Son of Man. They wanted to clear that doubt that He was truly who He was saying He was, who the people were saying He was. Because understand this, saints, before these people already seen multiple people come and say, I am the Messiah. I have been sent here from God to do these things. Well, He couldn't heal. He couldn't love. He couldn't save. There's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. Only He is capable of doing so. Power was coming from Him. Jesus not only had the power of God in Him, but it was also true that the power went out from Him when He healed them all. Notice here, power was coming from Him. The only true power is God. Only God can heal these amount of people. They came in multitudes of people. Only God can truly heal. We see all these different things from all these crusades of people who can place their hand on heads and they're healed. That is wrong. Only Jesus and only God can truly heal. These crusades do nothing but show a misinterpretation. These crusades not only show that they are proclaiming that they are above God, but that they have the healing power. Only God, only Jesus has the healing power of God in Him. The only true healer is God and through Christ alone. That's it. When the woman with an issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was healed, it says of Jesus immediately knowing in Himself that the power had gone out of Him. We read that in Mark 5:30. Mark said it well here, and we talked about this earlier, but we're going to read it again. Mark 3:10, for He had healed many, with the result that all of those who had afflictions pressed around Him in order to touch Him. cost him something to be used of God to serve others willingly because he's the Messiah. Notice that the power was coming from him. But notice that he healed all. He didn't leave anyone out. He hasn't ever turned people away. Never turned them away from healing. How glorious is that from a saving God that truly loves his people because he is gracious. Because of grace. The ultimate servant. The ultimate healer. Jesus Christ. See, the Lamb on the cross is being faithful. He's being faithful to the Father. He's faithful to him as a sacrifice. Imagine, hear me out. Imagine the blood dripping and pouring from the Lamb. The feeling of loss. But the victory. The victory that he took, all of the blood and all of the bruises, all of the blood and bruises to ultimately heal. No. To ultimately heal. I sit and wonder about this, the little worldly things. Sometimes I sit there and I think of the of some of the worldly things and not understanding completely. Not understanding that we have a Savior. And not understanding what He did for us 2,000 years ago. Sit and deal with afflictions and deal with sin. Understanding that we have a Savior that bore all of that. He was the Lamb that was slain. And His blood covers all of us. Praise Him. Honor Him. We praise a God that did that for us. How gracious of a God that crushed His own Son for us. I am in awe. When I think of the sacrifice, I am in awe of the sacrifice. We must understand how powerful our God is and how powerless we are. Powerful God. Powerless people. That's why we praise Him. We are in need to hear Him. We are in need to hear His Word. We are to use His Word and proclaim His Word all throughout the nations. His decree is written in the London Baptist Confession, chapter 3. I'm going to read it out. God has decreed all things that occur. And this He has done in Himself from all eternity. By the perfectly wise and holy counsel of His own will, freely and unchangeably. Yet He has done this in such a way that God is neither the author of sin, nor does He share with anyone in the sinning. Nor does this violate the will of the creature, nor is free working of contingency of second causes taken away, rather established. In all this, God's wisdom is displayed in directing all things, as is His power and faithfulness in accomplishing His decree. His power, power and faithfulness and His wisdom is displayed by directing all things. John Calvin said this, "All events whatsoever are governed by the secret counsel of God. All events by the counsel of God are directed." Declares God's absolute control of everything. We talk about it. We say, let God, we hear it all the time, the cliche, just allow God to work. We all have a say-so in that. God puts in our hearts to do things. He decrees all. He's power. He's full of power. Can encourage us all to understand how powerful our Lord is. truly see the characteristics of Him, and how important it is to see this through the Holy Scriptures. We are to rely on everything. We are to rely on each other to see these things. I am astonished by the Scriptures and how powerful they are when we read them. How powerful our God is, and how we should fear Him with a fear of understanding who He is and what He has done. All Christians should. And if this truly, God's Word truly doesn't make you shed tears of the gospel, then nothing will. Nothing will make you cry. Nothing will make you passionate about God's Word. If the gospel doesn't do that to you, you don't have a new heart. The gospel shouldn't make us all tear up. The gospel should make us all weep of a Savior that we didn't deserve. Psalm 29:4 says, "The voice of Yahweh is powerful. The voice of Yahweh is full of splendor." The gospel is full of splendor. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we come to You with an open heart to understand how powerless we are and how powerful You are. Allow us to work inside of Your Scriptures to see how powerful You truly are, and that we can take the gospel to all of the ends of the earth. Father, we need the gospel in this community. We need the gospel in this world. It is dying, but it's all done because of Your providence. We need to use these tools that You laid in front of us on this book that we are to utilize. Spread this word. Allow us to do so. Equip us to do so. Father, we're honored to worship You and to understand Your power and Your grace and of Your mercy. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.